So, Dr. Provencial, what does it mean for you as an astronomer that we've now been able to reach the furthest planet or not planet in our solar system?
Just for the exploration of the solar system, this is a fantastic thing. I mean, this is something we have never seen before. And to me, that's just amazing that we can get a probe out there. This is 3 billion miles away. And we have sent something past there that's taken all these wonderful pictures, and that's just fantastic that we're seeing this planet. That I shouldn't call it a planet. I don't know if I should do that or not, but
yeah,
I think it's a planet. So I'm going to call it a planet.
So you're pro-Pluto.
I'm pro-Pluto, yes. So this is the first time we've really gotten to see the surface of Pluto, and this is going to change how we understand how the solar system formed. It's really quite amazing.
Right, and NASA has released a few photos of Pluto already, and I'm wondering, you know, is there anything interesting that you're seeing, anything that surprises you?
I don't think it looks anything like anyone expected it to look. I mean, I'm looking at the picture right now, and it doesn't have a lot of craters on the surface, and there looks like there's snow on the surface, and it's actually kind of colorful. It's got some orange and looks like some red and some dark spots, some places that look a little hilly. So this is not just a dead ball of rock floating around out there. And this has something going on the surface now. It's still a living place. It's a planet where there's things going on. It's not just sitting there. So that's kind of cool because we didn't expect that at all.
I think from images that we've gotten from the Hubble telescope, we've always thought of Pluto as this dead little rock at the edge of the solar system.
Yeah, a little dot on the telescope image, yes. I know we've taken pictures of Pluto as well with the Mount Cuba telescope, and that's a small telescope. It's only it's about a quarter of the size of the Hubble Space Telescope. And when you take a picture of Pluto with that, all you can tell is it's a little speck of light. That's it. And you can see it move from one night to the next, so that's how you know it's a planet, it's something in the solar system. But with Hubble, Hubble's much bigger and it's above the atmosphere, but it's still, and it looks like a disk with Hubble. But and maybe you can tell that there's darker spots on it.
Right.
But you can't see any detail. And it's because Pluto is 3 billion miles away. It's a huge distance. It's way out there on the edge of the solar system. So having New Horizons go fly by, we're going to be able to see details on the surface of that planet that we have not yet seen yet. Because it hasn't sent back the close approach pictures yet.
In your experience, you know, observing space, what sort of advantages do we have now that we have a probe observing an object as opposed to, you know, Hubble and the other telescopes that we have?
It's mostly the fact that the New Horizons got so close. It would be really wonderful if we could have Hubble orbiting Pluto, and then you could see boulder-sized things on the surface of Pluto. That would be amazing. But New Horizons got within a few thousand miles of the surface. And so this is going to be, once those pictures come in, that's going to change everything that we think about what happened with Pluto and how it formed. And the moon, too. It has five moons. One is a pretty good-sized moon. It's called Charon. And I think the New Horizons is going to be getting some pretty good images of that as well. And so that's going to help us understand how the whole Pluto-Charon moon-planet thing formed in the first place.
Right, and NASA has also been releasing news about its five mysterious moons in the last few weeks.
Yes.
What about them, if at all, like, interests you?
Pluto and Charon are cool because if you compare Pluto's size and Charon's size, they're almost double planet. They're pretty, well, I don't want to say they're equal in size, but if you look at planet-moon comparisons like the Earth and the Moon and Jupiter and its moons, the ratio between the sizes of the planet and the moon is closest to one for Pluto. So it's almost a double planet instead of a planet-moon system. And the other moons were found very recently by Hubble, actually, who was looking at Pluto, and they found these little tiny, tiny flecks of light that moved and orbited around Pluto. So that's how the other moons were found.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, what other sort of questions are you wondering about now that we have a probe that's out in the Kuiper Belt?
From what I was reading about New Horizons, it's powered by a nuclear generator, and it's supposed to be running until the year 2030 before it runs out of plutonium. So, and they're thinking about maybe redirecting it and sending it out to another one of these bodies that are out there. And I think that would be just amazing, too. Because I'm sure, like the planets in the inner solar system, I'm sure every single body that's out, you know, in the outer edges out there in the Kuiper Belt are different. They're not, and each one is going to show us something new.
Right. This is very unexplored territory that we're going to.
And it's exciting because we've never seen this before.
Any chance that the Pluto planet or not planet case will be reopened this year?
I have heard whispers that it might be reopened.
Okay.
But whether it's actually going to happen or not, I don't know. You know, sometimes if you're trying to define an object with a scientific definition, sometimes people want to be really rigid about, you know, this is this and this is that, and sometimes you need to be a little bit more relaxed, I think. But we'll see. I think it deserves to be grandfathered in.